Mr. Gibson, can you hear me clearly?
Sir?
Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you about halfway. Like you're in a barrel.
How about now?
I can understand you, I think.
Can you hear me a little better now?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're having some problems with your audio on your end. Good afternoon. Can you state your name and agency number for the record?
My agency number?
Your name and agency number.
278-992.
Your full name, sir.
Oh, my age?
Your name, sir.
Oh, James D. Gibson.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31412B hearing to consider parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. In the hearing room, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Bill Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Luigi Notice. I'll be serving as your panel lead.
Okay.
I would like to begin your hearing with the following summary. Mr. James Gibson, ADC member 278-992, is 70 years old. He is currently serving a 7-year sentence for sexual conduct with a minor, with a pending consecutive 7-year prison term for kidnapping. Am I sounding clear so far, Mr. Gibson?
Yes, sir.
Note, he served a previously consecutive 7-year prison sentence for sexual conduct with a minor, the term of which has since expired. He was approximately 32 years old at the beginning of his crime cycle on January 1st, 1981. He pled guilty on December 11, 2012, and was sentenced on February 8, 2013. Again, Mr. Gibson, was that clear?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'll read a short summary of the offense in question, but I must say that this is one of the longest pre-sentencing reports I've read. In short, all about January 1st, 1981 through January 31st, 1981, Mr. Gibson committed sexual conduct with a minor by intentionally or knowingly engaging in sexual intercourse or oral sex contact with any person who was under 15 years of age and was not his or her spouse, to wit, Genevieve Clark. Count two, on about February 1st, 1981 through February 28th, 1981, Mr. Gibson committed sexual conduct with a minor by intentionally or knowingly engaging in sexual intercourse or oral sexual contact with any person who was under 15 years of age and was not his or her spouse, to wit, Genevieve Clark. On April 26, 2004, a police investigator and a lieutenant deputy Genevieve Clark and Kelly Vassar at the Benson Police Department concerning a possible sexual assault which had occurred approximately 32 years earlier. That date, it was resulted involving the rape of two children and a kidnapping, in which one of the children was taken out of state, repeatedly raped and sodomized for a period of approximately 1 year. The alleged crimes occurred in the late 70s and early 80s. And that's a short version. As I stated earlier, this is a very long and disturbing pre-sentencing report. Mr. Gibson has completed a moderate amount of programming, but I did not see that he has undergone any sex offender treatment. Mr. Gibson, have you been through sex offender treatment or the SOTP?
No, they won't let me take that one until I get closer to getting out. That's an 18 or 2 year term. I tried to get to take it down south unit, and they said I had to be closer to the, you know, to getting out before I could take it.
Okay.
They normally don't let you take that until you're about 2 years.
Thank you for accounting for that. He's had no disciplinary infractions inside the Arizona Department of Corrections. This is not a regular court hearing, but he has a release plan which includes living with his daughter and receiving Social Security benefits. This is his third day before the board. We have numerous letters of support as board packet. And I did not find any letter of opposition from the prosecutor's office, but this is not to say that we did not receive a letter, but we certainly don't have the file. Mr. Gibson, this is your first time before most of the members of this board. Can you tell us in your own words about the crimes that resulted in your incarceration and why you think you should be considered for parole to your next consecutive sentence? Thank you, sir.
Okay, you want me to go ahead and talk now?
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. I'd like to say, start with, I'm very, very, very sorry for what happened. I apologize to Janet and her family for hurting them. And I hurt my family also. I'd like to apologize to all of them. That's the only time that I've ever done anything. I've always stayed within the law. And that's the only time anything ever happened to me like that, or to me, not to me, but that happened. And like I say, I'm very sorry that happened. If I could go and change it, I would. I wish I could go back, but, you know, you can't go back once you make a mistake. And that's about the only time I've never even had a parking ticket. I don't have a record or anything. And I've been doing good in here. I try to stay out of trouble. I've been in a phase three now for about 7 or 8 years. Never been disciplined or anything. I stay away from the mean crowd, and I do what the COs tell me. And I take classes when I can. Down south here, I take a lot more classes. Up here in Kingman, they don't have the capacity to, you have to put your name on the list, and it's sometimes it's a year and a half before you get a class or something like that. Down south here, it's a lot different down there. You could take a class anytime you wanted to. But I feel I've learned my lesson. Like I said, I don't know if you got my letter to you or not, but I said in that, if, you know, being in here, being locked up, I've never been like this before. I've been in the Army, which is a little different. And I sure don't want to come back in here no more, and I'll never be back in here again when I get out. And it's not something I do, or, you know, that's only a one-time deal that I did that, and I don't know what happened to me at that time. My wife had died about 3 years before. I don't know, my head just wasn't mine or something, and like I say, I'm sorry I did that to her, and I apologize over and over, and apologize and apologize. And I try my best to stay out of trouble in here and try to rehabilitate myself. And and I know if I, when I get out, I can do parole with no problem. I'll never be back in here again. This is not a very good place to be.
Okay, sir. I have a few follow-ups. One, I do want to commend you for having a really good record inside the Department of Corrections. You seem to stay out of trouble. I appreciate that you're taking accountability for the crimes in question, and you certainly have a large stack of support letters from what seems to be mostly family that say very nice things about you. And it's from numerous sources, so it's not just the opinion of one person. I think what's concerning to me, Mr. Gibson, is, and I'm not trying to play games with your words, but you keep saying one time, and it seems that the actual cycle of this offense, and if I'm not mistaken, ends with one of the women. Am I correct that there was also child one We provide this?
No, sir. And there's only one victim, Genevieve. Her name used to be Clark. I don't know what her nice name is now, but she used to be Genevieve Clark. There's only one victim.
And did you move back to Hill out of state for a year?
Did I what, sir?
Kidnapper and took her out of state from me.
She went out of state with me, yes. I didn't force her to go out of state.
Well, sir, if...
But I sent her back.
There's some language in the pre-sentencing report that you had threatened her when you sent her back about talking about this. Is that true?
No, I didn't threaten her. She asked if she wanted to go back home. I said, okay. I paid for a plane, took her to St. Louis. And no, I didn't threaten her. I've never been a violent person, and never been in any fights or hurt anybody or anything like that. I don't threaten people.
Well, I think it can be disputed that having non-consensual sex with a 15-year-old is traumatizing and hurtful. Are you saying that you had a normal relationship with Ms. Clark?
Could you repeat that, sir?
Are you saying you had a normal relationship with Ms. Clark aside from the fact that she was 15 years old?
Yeah, I had a sexual relationship with her. I've never denied that. But I didn't force her to do anything. And they charged me with sexual misconduct with a minor.
Well, again, there's a passage in the pre-sentencing report, and I'm taking it based on you. Clark said that she then told Gibson whatever he wanted to hear and had anal or oral and vaginal sex with him. Soon she asked him to get her arms in her family, which she allowed. However, Gibson told Clark if she didn't return, he would come and get her and hurt her family. So you're saying that didn't happen?
No, I did have sex with her, yes. But it wasn't, I didn't force her, I didn't use it, you know, I didn't force her to do it, no.
And you're saying there were no threats?
No threats. I didn't make any threats at all. This happened 40 years ago and I never threatened them or anything. I never even talked to them. After she went back, I never...
Just one second, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, there's a passage in here, and I'm kind of jumping on. I said it's a very long pre-sentencing report, but I'm cutting to a certain portion. It said, when asked how she got away from Gibson, Clark said that when she was about 8 months pregnant, she asked if she could call her mother to talk about birth and babies. She said Gibson drove her miles away, and when I called her mother, I'll be stood by. She told her mother about the baby, that Gibson was the father, and that she did not know where she was. Clark said this happened in October, around mother's birthday. So, are you in denial that there was a pregnancy?
No, sir.
Well, you said there was a baby.
Oh, no, I didn't say I didn't threaten them. No, there was a baby. I didn't deny that.
And whose baby was that, Mr. Gibson?
That was my baby.
Okay. So you impregnated a 15-year-old girl when you were possibly 33 years old?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Well, that's a little bit more than the other questions for you. I have a few questions for my fellow board members. Mr. Gibson, we don't have any supporters in the room, nor do we have any victims to represent either, but we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us. This is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to understand before we vote on this case?
I think I deserve a chance since I've stayed out of trouble and everything. You know, I just say I'm sorry, I'm very sorry. And to Janet, to her parents, that's about it.
Well, thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion now, and they sound like that we're speaking with you directly, or is the board discussing the case?
Yes, sir.
Discussing it based on the open meeting law for Arizona, so the discussion happens in the open. We want you to listen in, and we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, as I stated during the summary, I certainly commend Mr. Gibson for having a good disciplinary record inside the Department of Corrections. I recognize that he has to support family who have sent letters. And to a certain extent, he showed accountability. I am very concerned about his version versus the very long version that was provided initially in the pre-sentencing report, which would suggest some serious trauma, some serious victimization, some pretty heinous sex crime, and Mr. Gibson may not be the person he was then, but in the interest of justice, I cannot find it in my conscience to pass him to his next consecutive sentence, considering the magnitude of this crime, but that's where we get a discussion. Yes,
thank you, Mr. Quinones. I too am glad Mr. Gibson has family support, and I'm glad that he has been able to remain discipline free, but I believe, based on the nature of the crime and the description, I believe he should serve his full sentence.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is regarding Mr. James Gibson, Sr., ABC number 278992. My motion is to deny parole for his last consecutive or absolute discharge. Based on the year of the crime, we have no mechanism for when they're set off, so he will be eligible to appear before his board in approximately 6 months, and that is my motion.
Second.
Just 1 second. Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Gilbert-Ross, reappointed by the Honorable Mr. Johnson and the Honorable Mr. Neal. Release type denied is 412B, parole to the next consecutive sentence, absolute discharge. And my reasons are as follows: serious and minor violent offense, serious and deemed offense, trauma to the victim, aid to the victim, based on the act, serious bodily injury. I want to ask for some clarification on this because, as I stated, the pre-sentence report was pretty long, but was there was not reference to more than one victim?
I thought I saw it, but
okay.
I did think I saw more than one.
Yeah. So I'm going to say I have multiple victims. It certainly would seem that there was a child born.
Well, certainly the family as well.
And the family.
And the child. So.
Yes, and the child. Victim harassment, according to the report.
Yes.
Looks like most of the reasons are on the incident defense side. Is there anything that I'm missing? Institutional behavior is good, no recent discipline, no assault behavior. Looks like he's well supervised. He has that programming, and he accounted for the fact that he's not eligible for STP yet. He does have a release plan, but this is a 412B. His demeanor was good. He does have family support. So I think that covers it. Mr. Gibson?
Yes, sir.
Did you hear that we unanimously decided, or unanimously voted to deny parole to arrest consecutive sentence or absolute discharge? Did you hear the motion, sir?
Yes, sir, I did.
And did you hear the reasons?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, sir, we want to thank you for appearing for the board today. You've been very cooperative, and we appreciate that. And Mr.
I'd like to thank the board for considering it.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. You're very polite. And this will bring our hearing to a close. Thank you.
Thank you.